While we're waiting for autonomous vehicles to emerge from their testing and become regular fixtures on the road, there are other transportation options around the valley. There's light rail, and bus service has longer hours and more opportunities to get around town. But the way this place has been built and designed, and yes, with our sprawl, the automobile dominates how we move from point A to point B. And there are a lot of parking lots and garages. So how could all of that change when autonomous cars are dominating the roads and the landscape? Our co-host Steve Goldstein looked into this, and he's here with us. Good morning.
Lauren, good morning. Yes, I talk with Darren Petrucci. He's an architecture and urbanism professor at ASU, focuses on design. I started by asking him how dramatic a change we're going to see in our cities, Phoenix in particular, as fewer people are doing their own driving and there's less need to find a parking space because we may simply get dropped off by an autonomous vehicle.
I think it's going to be, in our lifetime, one of the most significant changes to the urban form that we've seen. If you think about the history of cities after the war, after World War II, you can imagine that we began with a kind of metropolitan form that was predicated on oil and driving and moving out into the suburbs and expanding the city from a downtown or a core. That's not necessarily true for Phoenix, but most cities in the United States. And then in the 70s, when we started having problems with oil and gas prices and things, the metropolitan field started to become more fragmented. So we call that a fragmented metropolis. And really where we are now is this notion that the city becomes an archipelago of density. And Phoenix is actually well suited to that because in the 70s they developed the polycentric plan, the Villages plan for the city, and was really a forward-thinking city relative to the notion of how do we occupy a large area.
And Darren, what about parking garages, parking lots in particular? We've got a lot of those around the valley.
When autonomous driving is inevitably realized, I think what you're going to start to see is, one, cities that have a lot of parking are going to have incredible opportunity for development because that parking will become reduced. Mm-hmm. And cities that have wide streets, like Phoenix, Las Vegas, and other mostly post-war cities, will also have an incredible opportunity because the number of vehicles on the road might be less because we'll be very efficient. However, we're going to need drop-off lanes and pickup lanes for high traffic times. And the shape of, so the ability for those streets to become reshaped without encroaching on private property mm-hmm. is a really big deal.
How innovative do you think people are prepared to be when it comes to this? Because one of the things I've heard often is, well, it'll be more places that are environmentally friendly, we'll have more parks, which sounds delightful, mm-hmm. but in other ways, it doesn't really sound economically productive, which of course has mm-hmm. been so much tied to our streets and our parking and whatnot.
Yeah, no. So there's always these moments in history when you move to what we might call a smooth space. So, for example, at the turn of the century, you had wagons and horses in the street and then and pedestrians. And they just kind of moved through the street. There were some sidewalks. And then a car is brought along. And now you've got cars hitting horses and all kinds of things happening. And that previously smooth space of mm-hmm. everybody kind of going where they want turns into a striated space, meaning that it's compartmentalized. Here's the lane for the car. Here's the lane for the horse. Here's where the pedestrians walk. And what happens with that is that those are inevitable controls to manage the chaos that might ensue. But that always happens, always at a moment where the new technology is brought in, like the automobile, there's always that moment of chaos. There's always that moment where everything's in that smooth space. And I think that's going to be what we're going to see coming up is this kind of smooth urban condition where you're going to have autonomous driving a little bit with some people driving their own cars, or maybe we'll see it with trucking first and then dedicated lanes, et cetera. But if you combine that with automobiles that are not petroleum-based, whether it be hydrogen or electric, now you're completely transforming the way you engage a building. You could drop people off in the building. More than half of buildings' footprints are typically given to parking. So it's already got an infrastructure for bringing the car inside. You could imagine how that would transform completely.
Certainly, the focus of our conversation is about more urbanized areas, but I wonder if this could even grow the contrast between urban and rural settings in the sense that, let's say, people in rural settings with, if we still have the 75-mile-an-hour freeway or whatnot, you're going to see people maybe wanting to hold on to their cars in that sense. Do you expect to see designs take hold in rural areas and just at a much slower pace, or maybe not even at all?
Yeah, it's a really good question. So a couple things I would say are happening out there in the world with people considering these situations. One is that suburban areas will become, in fact, the middle, what's called the middle suburban condition, will actually become more desirable. Because the ability to move in an automobile whenever you need to without having to drive, so you can work and do other things, and live in a landscape that doesn't have the problems of congestion and driving, will become very attractive to a lot of people. That might actually have socioeconomic conditions where less advantaged people might end up getting pushed more and more out to the edges. On the other hand, there are a lot of important thinkers, urban thinkers, that have moved away from cities and are now considering the rural condition as the new kind of frontier, the periphery, if you will. I can imagine a version where you'll have autonomous driving and you'll come into the city, you'll flip on the autonomous driving, and it won't be legal for you to drive in the city. You'll be a liability.
Interesting.
Right? Because if all the other cars are GPS coordinated with each other, like what they're trying to do with air traffic control, that they all know where they are in space, they all know how close they can drive much closer to each other. So if you put a wild card in of somebody driving into that realm, it's going to be a nightmare. So I think that the inevitability, I think Elon Musk talks about this, the inevitability of where there is autonomous driving, not having people driving themselves, I think that's inevitable.
And in thinking about these potential innovations that worries you,
I think there are some unintended consequences that could come out of this that we haven't really thought about. And some of them are somewhat benign, just sort of more aggravating, I would say. If everything has autonomous driving, normally if I were to, you know, pick up my son and take him to school and then run an errand and do something else, I would take one car and do three things. It might be that I send him in a car to school, I go do this, and my wife does something else. Now there's three cars on the road as opposed to one. So there may be some things that begin to happen with this as it begins to play itself out where we actually have more cars on the road. There's a thing called a zombie tax in Massachusetts for zombie cars, I think is what it's called. You know, so that people with autonomous driving can't just have their cars driving around all the time. You get taxed per mile, so you're, you know. And the industries, the private industries that'll be, you know, providing these cars, et cetera, will, you know, they want to be full capacity all the time. Mm-hmm. So those things are maybe not as, you know, sinister as people hacking the cars, turn on people's wipers and do those sorts of things. So I think those are very real possibilities. But like anything else, you know, there's going to be some bumps in the road and pardon the pun, and then there'll be advances and incremental things happening.
Darren Petrucci is a professor of architecture and urbanism at ASU.